It's time for a new adventure.
Welcome to Adventures in Business, a podcast dedicated to the voices of today's entrepreneurs. Adventure is not just an action, it's an attitude. We will broaden your horizons and understandings of what it's like to be a working person today, in this moment of time on this planet we call Earth.
Welcome back to another Adventures in Business episode with me, your host, Amy Zander, and I'm here with my lovely co-host, Lisa. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Amy. How are you today?
I'm good. I know that this won't come out for about a month, but we're just coming off of our Memorial Day weekend. It was really nice, hot weather. So everybody's in the throes of yard work and vacation planning and all that good summer stuff. So yep, now we got to recover during the week. It's like less work to sit at my desk than it is to be on the weekend, right? Who do we have today?
Amy, I am really excited to have our guest on today, Steve Bonnet with Bonnet Electric. Oh my goodness, 116 years in business, and it's a family-run business. I just think that's fantastic. So Steve, welcome to our show. How are you?
Thank you very much. I'm doing well. Well, and we are busy. So those are two good things.
Yes, they are. So we always start with, tell us who you are and what you do.
I'm Steve Bonnet, and I'm actually president of Bonnet Electric Company, but I'm also the guy that wears all the hats. So I do everything from writing the checks to cleaning the toilets. So it's the whole gamut of what every small business person does.
I know that for sure. I won't ask anybody to do something I won't do myself. And when you're pulling all hands on deck, scrubbing the toilets are one of them. Mm-hmm.
The point is behind that there is no job within what is done every day to operate a business that is unimportant. All those things are important. And so the smallest of tasks makes all of those things make everything run smoothly. So it's important to remember that there's nothing that you're above and everything has to be done to make things go.
Well, yeah. And I think that just makes for such a better company culture too, when all the people that you work with see everybody pulling their weight and doing the things and nobody's better or above anything. It just makes for such a better team environment.
My management style is I don't ever call the people I work with, my staff, I call them my coworkers, because we really do work as a team. There's days where everybody's just pulling in the same direction to whatever has to be done. It's not about, at the end of the day, I have to make the decisions about what direction everything is going in. But for the most part, we're all pulling together and we all kind of have the same mindset of what has to be done.
How many people do you currently have working with you?
We have 5 people right now working with us. Our electrical staff, our contracting staff, there's 3 additional people that work. One person works remotely doing scheduling and the other 2 are electricians. So they're not in the business on a regular basis.
Describe for our listeners what all you do in your organization.
Well, we're a lighting showroom. So that's one thing. We're one of the last in Lansing that is a true lighting showroom. And despite the fact that we are known for vintage and that type of thing, because we do a lot of restoration work with vintage, we do have contemporary fixtures. And we have a website that has 35 plus companies within that website. So it's kind of an endless amount of lighting when you start searching through it. It's impossible for me or pretty much anyone to have 35 companies represented within their business. I would have to have many, many football fields to put all the product in that's there. What I can do is I can have a big screen on the wall and I can zoom in really close to finishes and all kinds of things that even holding it in your hand, you couldn't almost see the detail that I can see from a monitor. It's not like seeing the product in 3D like we would if it were hanging in our showroom, but it's as close as we can get to that and still provide the amount of variety that's out there. And we try to vet the companies so that there's not a lot of just same overlap. So each company has something different that we source that company for. So that when you're scrolling through lighting, you're seeing a lot of different price points, you're seeing a lot of different product, a lot of different styles. That's really helpful. And there's ways that the website can be used to make it easier to search for what you're searching for, because if you've ever gone on the internet and just searched for something, you can find endless amounts of everything to the point where you're so confused by the time you get done that you're not even sure what you want. Usually we start with finish and then we work our way through, like if you want satin nickel or bronze or whatever the finish is you want. We work through that first and then we start talking about, is the area open? Are you going to see other light fixtures? Do these have to match? Do they have to coordinate? Or is it an eclectic house where you want different finishes in different rooms, depending on what the rooms are? And then we search that way. Best feature I think we have on our website is there is a button within each product that says, or almost every product, because some don't have a collection, but it says collection. You click on that button and that shows you all of the light fixtures that will go with that light fixture. Because if you've got a dining room, the kitchen may be next to it, and you want a kitchen fixture to match or coordinate with the dining room fixture, or you've got an island that needs a wider fixture, more linear. There's all kinds of things that you want to coordinate, especially now that most homes are open concept homes or are being remodeled that way. Everything has to kind of flow together. So that's really an important point. So collection, it makes it so much easier if you first shot by finish and then go to collection, because you can really accomplish what you want in a very short amount of time and get the product that you want and not have as much confusion just with everything being so many things thrown at you all at once. And we're always glad to sit down with people and go through things where a lot, if you're just sitting scrolling through the web, a lot of times you don't have the expertise of somebody who's in the business. And what is nice about that is that's free to all of our customers. So my 30 years of being in this business, I can translate and I can say to you, hey, you might want to pick seated glass for your kitchen because clear glass is going to look dusty all the time. And you're going to hate it once you get it up because you're going to look at that and say, this light fixture looks dirty and it drives me crazy. So it's like things like that where I can say, or instead of having a built-in LED unit that may go bad in 5 years, why not just pick something that has regular sockets that you can put LED bulbs in? And then that way, you're still always keeping up with technology. You're getting all the energy savings, but you're not limited to that particular style of fixture and having to replace that in 5 years, which we don't even know if that will be available in 5 years. That's what manufacturers sell you, but that's not what always happens. We're big on energy, and we're big on energy saving and also being green. So anytime you put out a product that might end up in a landfill, that's a fail, as far as I'm concerned. It's like the product should last a long time and should give you many years of service and should be able to be serviced as well. And that's where we transcend into repair restoration, which is it's the core of what we've always done. We repair lamps, and it's a really green way to, we do all kinds of things to lamps. We restore the finish. We do all kinds of things to remodel them, change them, whatever. We have lampshades, different shapes or whatever than what you may have. So the nice part of that is it's not something that's going into the landfill. Probably the lamp you bought 20 years ago is a much better product than what you're going to buy now, because industry standards have just changed over time and they've made things cheaper than what they used to be. Not all. I mean, there's still high-end manufacturers that make good products, but that's something to consider. So I sell it as a green way. Repair is not just something that you're saving money because you're not having to go out and buy a $300 or $400 lamp, but it's also a way that you're not creating more trash. You're not putting more stuff into landfills. Part of what we do too is so much of everything that we do, we're a Board of Water and Light recycling center for CFL bulbs, incandescent bulbs. Anybody can bring us those bulbs anytime, drop them off. We don't care if you've got 100 bulbs, we'll take them and store them until we have enough boxes to send back to the recycler. We do this all the time. So it's like, it's our way of getting that product back to who's going to properly recycle it and keep it in and keep it from a landfill and keep it becoming another product. That's kind of like, it's like we were green before it was popular. Green, but that way.
Well, thank you for that.
I'm sorry. I'm like just running on. Go ahead and interject things. Just tell me to shut up whenever you want me to shut up. There's just so much to tell in that story though. And then when it comes to restoration, it's like there's so many things that can be done to change or to restore a lamp. Not always everything. We're not always perfect. You can't replate now. plating would be, in other words, putting like a brass finish back onto a lamp. That's a plated finish. It's so toxic that in Michigan, you can't rebuild a plating business except for on the side of a plating business. And so small run companies are just, they're going away because it's too expensive to operate them. And plus the environmental repercussions are so large that you don't want that. You don't want that. Nobody wants that in their community. And there are still large run companies that do that for, you know, major manufacturers, but they're in big factories in Gary, Indiana, or someplace like that, where it's acceptable to do that type of work. For the most part, that's one of the components we can't do. There's a lot of other things that we can do those first finish that make up for that. And those are the things we do as well. We do a lot of statewide projects, bigger scale things like restoring lighting in historic buildings, especially in Detroit. A lot of the west side of Michigan as well has a lot of historic buildings. Fortunately, we don't do a lot here because Lansing does not do a lot with their historic buildings except for tear them down. That's not an area that we work in a lot. We're usually in another city doing that type of work.
You must have seen so many cool buildings.
I've been lucky enough to see not just cool buildings, but areas that nobody else ever sees. I get to go in places where the mechanics of whatever happens, like the lifts for the ceiling fixtures or whatever. I get to go above ceilings and stuff like that. I've always said I never want to be higher than a bar stool because I'm not a big fan of heights, but when push comes to shove, you got to go wherever. So a lot of our work actually happens on the ground because things have to come down to the ground to be really serviced well. Yeah, I get to see work in progress a lot of times where things are being restored. And I've never been the kind of person that says you have to historically redo this building in a historic way. I think if we save a building, we save a building, whether it becomes modern condos or whether the vision is something that's not exactly like it was before. The people that built those buildings, Albert Kahn is a perfect example in Detroit. Albert Kahn was such a visionary he's an architect that built most of Detroit, most of the notable buildings in Detroit. He was a forward thinker. So if he were living today, he would want to do things that were more contemporary, more forward looking.
And probably sustainable too, which is your passion. Yeah.
For sure. Yes. And so all of those things have to be looked at. So anytime I'm redoing a light fixture, obviously it's going to be an LED. Sure. Ending for that, because we're going to save energy and we're going to save heat. We're going to do all those things that would destroy the fixture if it weren't using that technology. And then we're also going to look at it from what does the customer want to accomplish? Do they want to restore it to look like it was originally? Do they want something different? You know, and all of those things, there's tweaking along the way of all those things that they can come out with a different outcome depending on what the particular vision is of the owner or the person redeveloping that building has in mind. So we pretty much listen to what the client wants. If the client wants our input as far as what would happen, we've done a lot of work at Cranbrook, both for the educational community and for the house. I've worked with great archivists. The archivists are people that go through and they're very big on researching what it originally looked like back in the day, and then putting that back to the way it was. And we're happy to work within the guidelines. Because in some respects, that's kind of like a museum of what was. And so they want that to achieve looking like it, like you would walk into the past.
Right.
So there's value in that as well.
Sure. But
to me, there's value in whatever it takes to save things from being torn down or being taken away, because there's some pretty amazing spaces especially in our state. We have a beautiful state with beautiful buildings and things that can be, and things that should be seen by it. Look at how Grand Rapids is a perfect example of a really shining city as far as their juxtaposition with architecture, old and new. And if you look at the Pantland Hotel and the Amway Grand, how those two were joined together and still celebrate like really modern architecture in a skyscraper, but yet the old hotel is there with all the big chandeliers and all the stately rooms and everything. So you get an appreciation for both. when you walk through that space, it's like, it's all of the best things. And that's kind of almost a microcosm of what Grand Rapids is. They went through and they took some of the greatest buildings, saved them, then built new structures that were interesting and new to keep the city fresh.
Right. So I know you said a little while ago that Lansing doesn't always like restore or take care of their buildings or that things, because you mentioned Detroit and Grand Rapids, but what is one of your favorite buildings you've worked on in the Lansing area?
I have to say one of my favorites was the Board of Water and Life Water Gallery that's on Cedar Street. I never get into a project that I don't learn some new skill from. It's like, it's almost like I'm in a Mario game all the time. I got to figure out how to get to the next level to go on with work. And that's what's really rewarding about what I do is there's always, it's like you got to climb a little higher on the ladder each time. You got to, you know, stretch yourself a little further. The fixtures in the water gallery are spun aluminum, and whoever originally built them put steel with them, which is what happens with steel and aluminum. If you put it in a moisture environment, you get galvanic action, mm-hmm. which means the rust is actually not just rusting the steel part, but it's also deteriorating the aluminum part. It has it's twofold in its deterioration. I had to learn a lot about metal in those two metals and what was going to be a better fit for that. And then we were able to actually recreate some of the pieces that were in there that were too far gone, and then clean up and refinish the ones that were in there. But that is a building that's a WPA project. It was built for workers to see the beautiful murals and everything that's in that building. It's open different times of the year for the public to come in and see, but for the most part, it was made so that every day you went to work, you passed by something beautiful. And that's really, it's a great concept. We still have that concept. If you think about it, we're building a lot more workspaces that are a lot more interactive, a lot more windows out to woods, that kind of thing, where you're not trapped in a building all day thinking you're just in a cubicle and life isn't important because you have to sit every day at this stupid computer terminal and work all day and then you're not seeing anything good. Even a lot of our state buildings, if you look at them, the quad behind the Capitol has open garden space and stuff where there's windows on that garden space in the middle. It's all in creating better workspaces, because look how much time we spend at work. I mean, that's huge value right there. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of getting off topic from the lighting business, but
no, you're good.
All about what is, I mean, environmental and lighting play close roles together. I mean, there's natural lighting and there's also artificial lighting to recreate, but it's like they're both important in how you feel about yourself and how you feel about your day is the type of light that you're taking in. If every day were gray and cloudy, lived in Seattle, you'd have great coffee, but you'd feel really down because so many of your days are gray.
Well, yeah, but Lansing isn't too far behind Seattle as far as cloudy days go. And I think too, people just, it's not always your first instinct to think, oh, I'm feeling kind of down. Maybe I just need some light or sunlight. Right. You know, we don't always think that. And I think if people thought about that, I feel like I want to like throw vitamin D pills at people in Michigan, like as I walk down the street in the winter, like you need some vitamin D.
Actually, the doctors tell me that everybody in Michigan actually has a vitamin D deficiency.
I'm sure.
In a lot of ways, it makes us stronger, though, because we have to deal with the winter, and then we have to go back to blazing heat in the summer. Yeah. So it's like we have both of those worlds that we have to adapt to.
Yeah, no, we're awesome. Michigan people can deal with anything, for sure.
That's true.
You know, you've talked about the going greener, the environment. You've talked about some of the lighting, right? So in 116 years, I'm sure you've seen, not you personally, but your family has seen so many different changes and have been through so many different seasons. What are some of the things that your family business has gone through over all of these years?
Somebody just reminded me the other day, and I didn't even think about this. They said, you know what? This is your second pandemic, because you were around when the first one happened in, what was it, 1918 was the first one? I think it's 1918 was the Spanish flu. They're like, you've actually gone, your business has actually gone through two pandemics. And I'm like, I don't think that we had, I don't remember anybody talking about that, but that would have been so long ago that probably would have been long forgotten. Just like even people were talking about smallpox, or not smallpox, but polio. because people had to wear masks and all that type of thing, and how much debate there is now, and there wasn't debate back then. People just did that because they were trying to survive. And I don't even remember polio was before my time. I don't even remember anybody talking about that other than I know a few people that I remember people referencing like they had joint problems or whatever as a result of polio. They had some form, some level of polio, but and that was as a kid. But it, we went through depressions and recessions and all of that kind of stuff and figured it out. 2008 was very difficult for us. It was a very difficult time for a lot of businesses. I think 2008 is so underrated. Part of being in business is you always have to have, you always want to be upbeat. Obviously, you don't want to tell people that times are tough because then people are like, everybody's saying, well, they may go under because times are tough. It just said times are tough, you know? So you always have to keep a smile on your face and you always have to deal with whatever's going on and present that to the public. But I think that not enough people talk about the fact that people suffer and people go through horrible things where we're not in a big corporation where we have trust falls and a lot of really feel-good times. We're like, you just suck it up and you just have to pull yourself together and go through another day. And there's many times where you think, is there going to be another day? Because, this is, you know, we don't know what the future is. We don't know what goes beyond this. We've never had this happen before. Like in our time. So we don't know what it's going to look like in a year or 6 months or whatever. We're very lucky in that we have a huge loyal base of people that when we talked about shrinking our showroom, which everybody talks about it being our going out of business, they're like, I thought you went out of business. I'm like, did you really read the article? We never said we're going out of business. We said we were going to downsize our showroom and focus more on repair, which we continue to do. But at that time, so many people people were messaging me, constantly calling, talking to me all the time about, don't go out of business. We need you. It's like, it's so important that you're in this community. I mean, there was it wasn't just demanding. It was like a lot of genuine support. Like, is there some way that we can help? Is there some way we can support your business in a better way? It was unbelievable. That's the one thing I can say about Lansing. Lansing may not be the most exciting city in the world, but it has some of the greatest people, and I'm not even sure why, but some of the greatest people exist in the city, and they are very compassionate, very kind, very, very really wonderful people to know, because I just don't know any place that is like this. I mean, I know places where there's other people that are friendly and kind, but it's like these people will go, they're ride or die people that will do anything for you. So having all that outpouring was really a shock, because you kind of get to a point where you think people are kind of forgetting this part of our business and this is not getting a lot of action. The minute you say something, it's like everybody's like, whoa, no, don't think we're not thinking about you. And, you know, you can have 10 bad days in a row or even 5 bad days in a row. And on that 6th day, you're crazy busy again. And it's just that, for whatever reason, more people, I've always said May is a horrible month because everybody relearns that they want to garden again and the sun is out and everybody wants to be outdoors and nobody's about their house fighting or anything like that. Along comes June and everybody's like, yeah, I'm over being outside. Now I want to do all the things in my house that I remembered that I wanted to do project-wise or whatever. So we're busy again. And so things are cyclical like that. But when you're in the throes of like, boy, it's been really slow for 5 days. It's like, then you start to wonder, are we still relevant? Is this, you know, It's like, being in business is constantly questioning yourself. It's almost like a personal, almost like a personal thing. Like, am I really still, do I really still have it? Is it still happening? You know?
Yeah.
And it is. It's just that you're not always fine with that.
That's a common theme that we've encountered over our show and talking to people and different business owners is you have to become really comfortable with unpredictability if you're going to be a business owner. And it's not for everyone, you know?
I think you always have to embrace change. I mean, change is such a constant in the world, especially now with technology. And we're definitely a business that is tech related. I mean, if you think about it, it's just something that's always happening. I always said that lighting is like art. I mean, it is art in itself because it has to be beautiful, but it also has to be functioning and it has to be safe. There's a lot of, and it's 3D. It's not something you can't just, people will walk into a gallery and buy a painting and pay $5,000 for it. It's, oh, it's so beautiful. It's a painting. I think that And then they look at the light fixture and say, well, it costs $500. That seems like a lot of money. But I'm like, look at all that went into that, though. It's like style, design. It's like, and it's like has to function and has to be safe, too. And it has to, and it lights up your room at night. It's like, it's a lot. I don't think people really see that way. And I don't know how to change that perception, but it's something that I've always recognized that there's a lot that goes into something. And when I look at something that's built in a way, a light fixture that's built, you know, in a way, and I see how somebody else built it, how something usually old, because a lot of the craftsmen did things years ago, I'm always in awe of the technology that went into that. And I say technology because there's a lot that goes into that design to make whatever happen. And I'm always fascinated on how they chose to put it together.
And I really think having people hear your passion, the way that you have been speaking about lighting today, is going to be one of those ways that you're going to change their way of thinking. The whole going greener, the passion that you have around the lighting and what all it means. I mean, I certainly have a different perspective and have learned a lot just listening to you. It is your, again, the passion that you have behind what you do.
One of the questions that this podcast that's on the list of questions was, how did I get into it? It's like when you're born into it, you don't really make the conscious decision. Once I had completed 2 years of college, when I was in high school, I was going to high school in the morning, I was going to work in the afternoon, and I was going to college at night. And by the time I got 2 years of college, I was so burnt out that I was just like, my mom was like, you need to complete your bachelor's degree. And I'm like, you know what? I need to just have a break for a minute, because this is like, I'm getting to the point where I'm just so burnt out all the time. And I wish I would have, the problem is once you get into a business, it just sucks the life out of you. I mean, in a good way too. And so you just become a part of that. And finding the time to go back to school or do those kinds of things is difficult, especially in a business where you're constantly shifting roles all the time. Because yeah, there was a year that I spent with, my brother didn't have an apprentice to work with him. And I spent a year being his apprentice. And that's interesting. And, and being out in the field wiring pools and electrical boxes, all kinds of different things that were, you know, I just needed to be his lackey for that summer because he didn't have somebody to do that. And it was nice because I could shift into that role and have somebody, I still had to do my job, which was difficult because I had to come back and do the things that had to be done. But there were people that were doing repair and a lot of the other things that I was doing before. And that's probably the thing I hate the most, is I hate spending time sitting to email promotion this. I mean, I love talking about this kind of stuff, so this is not something I hate, but all of that kind of stuff, I would rather be doing the hands-on stuff. I'd rather be in the workroom doing that kind of stuff, because it's really what I love. And that's really where I think really where I found my niche when I went into that business, because that was working beside my dad. My dad was amazing. My dad did things that no person will ever do again. And there was things that I did differently from him because I had a different way of doing that. And I thought his way was slow. His way was slow, but it also included a lot of detail and a lot of care and a lot of his own way of deciding how he would approach something. I just hope that I took the good parts of that and brought it more forward to thinking in different terms of how I could do it more efficiently, but do the same with the same amount of quality.
It sounds like the longevity of your company is a good testament to that, for sure.
It is so about the people that work. Any business, though, is about the people that work in their business. I mean, mm-hmm. You know, it's like there's some businesses that if you're a milk store, well, people are going to come to you for milk. You know, I mean, and if you're convenient, and that's, you get to the right spot and everything, and you can be anybody standing at the counter selling somebody milk. The thing, though, is that if you're in some type of business that requires some level of craftsmanship, I think of our work as very much craftsmanship. Something that has to do with safety or any of those kinds of things, you have to be invested. And this is one of my speeches. I had a guy come in that was, he was new and he was going to work in repair, and he was doing really well. We train everybody, and actually we like people that that don't know anything because we can train them the way we want them to. He was repairing a lamp and he got done with it. And I had to walk to the workroom and I said, how do you feel about your lamp? Did you do everything you were supposed to do? And he said, yeah, I think so. I said, well, what do you mean you think so? I said, did you take all the steps, did you go through all the steps and test it and everything to make sure it was safe and everything? And he said, yeah, I think so. You know, I think I did everything. You know, he's kind of like, he's waiting for me to trick him. And I was just asking a straightforward question. I said, because you know what? That may go home to somebody's house. That may go in some little girl's room. And if that catches fire, that could kill that little girl. That's how important what you're doing is. And he said, whoa, I don't have that much responsibility. I said, mm-hmm. We all have that responsibility in our jobs every day. And I said, I'm going to check the lamps that you do for a long time, because until I'm confident that you are doing the job correctly, somebody else is going to check your work. And that's why we do this. But I said, that's how important our work is. I said, and when I said that to him, he was just like, he was floored by the fact that I said that. I'm like, but you got to think about the bigger picture all the time.
Right.
There's a huge amount of responsibility. And obviously we can't be liable for everything. We can do our job and do it right. We can't make people not use extension cords in their homes or do whatever. I mean, we can't mm-hmm. take on everything, but we can do our little part and we can do it right and we can do it safely. And that's one of the things. Safety is a huge factor for everything we do. And if there's any question, I've had people walk in and had a puppy chew the cord, and I could feel the holes in the cord, and I'm like, puppies chewed, this needs to be replaced. And they're like, I don't want to spend the money. You know, it's working fine. I don't see that it's going to be a big problem. And my answer is, if I need to, I'll pay to replace your cord, because it's not going out of here, or we just won't do the work for you. And so, and of course, when I say that, they're like, no, I'll pay for it. I'm not being cheap about it. I just think it needs to be replaced. And I'm like, I want you to be safe. I don't want, this is not something, there's no reason not to be safe. So that's a huge factor. I mean, and we care about our customers. We work in our business every day. It's not like we don't care about what happens. A lot of people think that nobody cares about what their problem is. It's like, obviously I can't take on every bit of, or I don't remember every part of every person's right. repair, but it's like every person that comes in, we treat like they have the most important repair, even if it's the smallest minute thing, to the person that brings in something that's really a huge project, whatever. They all get treated with the same amount of care and energy is put into what we do, you know, because it doesn't really matter if it's the most minute thing or if it's the biggest thing. I mean, I've had people come in and say, this lamp is horrible, it's ugly, but it has sentimental value for me. And that's why that's the other thing I tell employees. I'm like, this lamp may not look like it's anything, it may be kind of broken and it may not be anything that you would have in a room. But to this customer, it has some value, it has some sentimental value. It belongs to their dad or whomever or whatever. And to them, it's priceless. So we have to treat it as being priceless.
Absolutely. So I'm going to just, I could talk to you forever. I'm going to ask one final question though, to wrap this up. What piece of advice would you give to other multi-generational business owners?
Wow. Don't quit your day job. It is not for everyone. And there's nothing between you and the street. You don't have a large corporation to fall back on. You don't have somebody saying, hey, we're going to offer 401ks for you, and we're going to give you health insurance and all these other great things. You want to build that in your business if possible, but it's like, because a lot of times things change all the time, you don't always get those opportunities. And a small business is something that either has to become a bigger business, which kind of you lose a little bit of the charm of a small business, or it has to have its limits as far as time. We will probably limit our time because there's not any generation that will follow us up in this business. So in time, we will retire and that will end, or somebody else will buy our business and have a different vision for it. And that'll be okay, because it will be their vision and either they will succeed or fail at it. Maybe they'll do even better than we've done. You never know. It's not for everyone. Had I had it to do over again, I think I would have gotten a job and done this job on the side. Because I would have loved the benefits of, I love that everybody tells me they have like Mondays off for every holiday in the world, and they have this off and whatever. And I'm like, I'd like to have that life sometime. I can be creative in my personal life. I don't have to do it in my job every day. It makes you a better person, I think, to go through that. The advice I would give somebody is just be ready for change all the time, accepting a change, and be ready to embrace change, because change is, if you make change your best friend, you'll be successful. If you try to stay stuck somewhere, it will destroy you. So that's in a nutshell, that's my best answer.
That's great advice, because you've seen it all. Your company, you've not been there 116 years, but from depressions, recessions, pandemics, internet, right? Shopping online. Right. You guys have seen it all.
Internet, we embrace that. We have a website. It's like, again, the thing is, when everybody, when the box stores happened, all of the lighting showrooms, I went to conferences and stuff where they said they're just going after us. It's like they're attacking us from every direction. And I'm like, or you can just embrace that and say, that's a certain customer that goes to a box store. That's not our customer. Our customer wants more of an experience. They need help. They want guidance. They want all kinds of things. They don't want a box store. And it's for a certain person that's just perfect. And for somebody else, it isn't. We have Home Depot sending us customers. So it's like somebody within the local Home Depot knows about us and sends us people all the time. But so it's like everybody working together, everybody has their niche. You just need to stay in your lane and remember who you are and what you do. And that you, not everyone is your customer. That's, I think, probably right. The most important part is that there are certain people that need certain things, and they're directed to your business, and you need to seek those customers and not worry about people that don't.
So tell our listeners, before we wrap up here, what your website address is and how they can find you.
It's our name. It's bohnt.com. And they're welcome to go there. What we don't even have a cart system on our website. And the reason we don't is because we want people to call and order, because if they do have questions about something, usually there is some question, we don't want them at 4 a.m. in the morning making impulse buys. That's nice.
That happens.
Well, it does. And a lot of companies prey on that, because they're like, hey, we can get people to buy, you know, when they're vulnerable and whatever. We want customers to buy something that they want and they value. So we're not trying to regulate them so much as we're trying to help them make better decisions and get a better experience out of it. I would say that, you know, when you go to our website, it's fine to look. A lot of shoppers come in with their what they want already in mind, or they'll call us and just say they want to order that. We're happy to do that. It's more about we want to be able to help when they need help. And a lot of times, until people have that conversation with you, they don't even know that they want help. So sometimes that happens as I'm processing an order. I'll say, do you need bulbs? Do you need this? Do you want this? Do you know this has this feature or whatever? And usually more of a conversation comes out of that.
Awesome. And for our listeners, as always, we will put the links to that in our show notes. Steve, this has been amazing. I've learned so much about lighting and lamps, and now I'm thinking about all the lamps in my house that I could use to get updated. So that's great.
Yep. Good. I'm glad to hear that. Yeah. I'm glad to always do these opportunities, because I think that I just don't think a lot of people know this stuff. I mean,
right.
And I think that it's a whole world that doesn't really get talked about much. So
yeah.
I'm always grateful to be able to put it up. So.
Thank you so much for being on our show. And for all our listeners, please go experience Bohnet Electric. And again, thank you so much for being here today, Steve.
Yes, we're honored to have such a long-standing, iconic business in Lansing. That's amazing. So thank you so much. We appreciate having you on.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks for listening to our show and coming on an adventure with us and Steve from Bohnet Electric. We hope you've learned something about the lighting fixtures and the lamps in your house. We release episodes every Tuesday and Thursday. You can find us at zediamedia.com or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Also visit zediamedia.com if you'd like to be a guest on our show. We hope to see you soon. Go out and have a great day and make it an adventure.
Grab your passport and join Lisa and Amy as they interview a huge variety of today's professionals. You can discover Adventures in Business at zediamedia.com or find it at your favorite podcast source. If you'd like to be a guest at our show, we dare you to go to zediamedia.com. That's ZEEDIAMEDIA.com and sign up.
This is a Zedia Media production.